Hi, this is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
Very bad.
Oh, did I tell you I dumped a 7-Eleven Fountain Diet Coke on my computer once? Fried it completely. It was
oh, you did tell me that because you had to. It was the work computer. They had to replace it for you.
Yeah. Oh, terrible. That's that shameful walk into the senior pastor's office. So this happened, and yeah.
Anyway. All right. Welcome back to Youth Ministry Sherpas. I'm Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
This is episode 20.
Episode 20.
That's like two decades of episodes.
I can't believe we've got there already. This is unbelievable.
It's crazy. Actually, if you throw in the Sherpa shorts,
we're
at 46 episodes.
That's crazy. We're flooding the market.
We are. We started January 16th, and this is, well, we're recording this the first day of June, right?
First day of June.
So wow. less than 5 months.
Unbelievable.
6 months.
Looking back. Isn't that kind of the point of 20, right? Hindsight 2020, when you look back.
Look at all we've done.
You see things more clearly.
That is true.
Than you did beforehand.
That is true. Yeah. Do you remember when you first got, you wear contacts, right?
I do. I wear contacts and I wear glasses and my vision is not great.
No, mine either.
Especially far away. Yeah. Close up, no problem. But and I can remember the day. That, you know, I was having headaches, so, oh, we should probably go check your eyes. So I went and checked my eyes.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, okay.
I was in high school.
Oh, wow.
But I remember, I mean, this is a long time ago, but I remember this.
Okay.
I remember the day, Pine Tree Mall, Marinette, Wisconsin, came out of Lens Crafters or wherever the heck it was, and finally got my glasses, put them on, walked out, and I literally stopped in my tracks.
Yeah.
And just looked around and thought, why didn't people tell me this is what the world looked like?
Look what I've been missing.
It was clear. It was crisp. It was vivid. All things I didn't honestly even know existed. And I was like, I wish I, you know, I mean, what have I missed? I mean, of course, I was only 17, so I didn't miss a lot. But I was like, what have I missed out on all these years?
That eye doctor probably put his fingers in the mud and then rubbed them on your eyes. And the next thing you knew.
I don't think that's exactly what happened. But it was amazing how much clearer I could see once I got contacts.
I have terrible glasses. Eyes too. Mine started a lot earlier. I think I got glasses when I was 7, maybe.
Oh my! Wow.
When I was in high school, you remember Kurt Rambis, that basketball player with the big
Rec Specs.
The Rec Specs. I had those. Oh, I had the Rambis Rec Specs in high school playing
amazing,
basketball. I was intimidating. I was very intimidating at 6'1", 140. With my Rec Specs.
With your Rec Specs.
And they would always fog up. It was terrible. But my eyes are so bad that I cannot lay in bed and see the alarm clock on my nightstand.
Wow.
I have to actually pick it up and like bring it closer to my eyes. That's how bad it is.
That's not so good at all.
It's terrible.
No.
So I've been wearing contacts since then, and you know, that's pretty good because you can see really well with those. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Hindsight.
Hindsight.
So great. You see things so much clearer after the fact.
After the fact.
A couple years ago, I had this great idea. My wife loves to hike, so it was Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we going to do for Mother's Day? We're going to go for a hike.
That sounds fun.
She wants to be outside. She loves to be outside. We're going to go for a hike.
Okay.
And so my kids were younger at the time, much younger. This is probably a good 10 years ago. And so we kind of chose our place and said, we're going to start hiking here. We're going to hike on this trail into here. We'll hike right into this town. We'll get some dinner. And then we'll hike back to the car. It's going to be a magical day.
A glorious hike.
A beautiful day. And it was a beautiful day. Sun was out. Weather was great. It was perfect. However, our parking spot was poorly chosen based on looking at a map. It looked like, oh, here to here. That looks very doable.
Okay.
We'll grab some dinner. We'll walk back. Yeah. Didn't really check the scale of the map that much.
Okay.
It was a long way. And again, our kids were younger then, weren't excited about the hike in the first place.
Uh-huh.
But it's Mother's Day, so.
They're going to do it.
You got to do it. And we went on this hike, and we pushed through. We got there. We had dinner. Of course, when we got into town, everything was closed except one, like Jimmy John's. So we had a sub. and then walked back to the car. It was the most miserable Mother's Day on record because everybody was tired and cranky and complaining, and it was terrible. We had 2 miles left in the hike, and
poorly planned, poorly executed.
Right, and I declared if there's no complaining for the rest of the hike, I will buy ice cream for everybody on the way home. And we barely made it. I mean, it was that bad. It was that bad, even with ice cream. And in hindsight, a different parking spot would have been a glorious day. But again, that's hindsight. It's too late.
My brothers actually did something kind of dangerous. I wasn't part of this, thankfully, but they were at the Grand Canyon together. I have two brothers. And they were going to hike down and out the same day. It's doable, but it's not advisable. And they did it. But by the end of that trip, man, they were struggling. And it can be physically dangerous. People die trying to do that.
Sure.
Run out of water, you're dehydrated or whatever. And they just afterwards thought, why? What were we thinking when we started on that trail and we ended up in that place? If we could start to do it again,
you'd do it differently.
We'd have 20/20 vision in hindsight.
That's the thing. Yeah. You think about you were thinking, but you're thinking with the knowledge you have.
Right.
After the fact, you have all this extra knowledge, and you want to be able to go back and say, like, man, if I could go back and do it again, I'd do it this way. But that's where the old saying comes from. But hindsight's 20/20.
So playing on the idea of 20, this is our 20th episode. We thought we would talk about a few things that if we could start again, we would do these things differently. We're many years in now, and it's maybe too late to completely revamp some of the things that we will mention. But if we could start again, these are things that we would do
differently
from the beginning.
Knowing what we know now,
yes,
that we didn't know then.
So we broke it into three categories. We have programmatic things we would do differently. We have a vision and leadership type of things that we would do differently. And we have personal things.
Right.
That we would do differently.
Sounds good.
So let's start with the programmatic, Matthew. What's something programmatic that you've done in your youth ministry that, you wish you hadn't done it?
You know, I think for me, the biggest one is, and this is part personality for me, and again, I didn't know this at the time, it just started happening. I think that I have planned and run a lot of events in student ministry, not because I wanted to, and not because I thought they were the best event possible for the student ministry, but it was because somebody else really wanted it to happen.
Hmm.
And I didn't want to disappoint or make angry or, you know, I wanted. And so I think if I could go, and eventually I built a pattern of that. And
right.
So then if you go talk to Matthew about doing this, if you're passionate about it and willing to help, then he's a yes guy. He'll say yes and we'll get to do it. And
so these programs rose up that now have a life of their own.
Events and programs that sort of happened that as I look back, I don't think we should have invested our time there or invested our resources there. And I did that to make somebody else happy, not because it was something I was passionate about or something I felt was going to move our ministry in the right direction. And so, but boy, once some of those things are established, they're difficult to get rid of. We talked about gangrene and the Sherpa source. They're difficult. It's difficult to kill a ministry or a program or an event even.
Yeah.
So I wish I would have built a better pattern of evaluating, should we do this or should we not do this? And I think I've gotten better, but, you know, it's tough to undo.
For me, it's kind of the opposite. I'm not thinking about things that I created that I wish I hadn't. I'm thinking about things I wish I had done or created or built into our culture that I didn't. And now it's late. It's still doable, but it's not going to be the same. One thing I wish we had done years ago is establish a relationship with a place where we could do mission every year or every other year. The same place, the same people that we take them back to. You guys have your thing in Peru, and you've been doing that for years, and you take a lot of students back there, and it's part of your culture, and you have these established relationships there.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, we've kind of hopped around. We've done a lot of really great mission, and we've looked for that place of relationship and landed there for a few years, but didn't carry it on. I wish that we had something like that. I'm kind of envious of your Peru thing. Another thing I wish I'd done is I wish I'd started a senior trip to really do a better job of transitioning the graduating seniors into the next phase of life. We have a great senior banquet, and we've done different things with seniors. But I just love the idea of a trip that they would look forward to, kind of like a last hurrah, maybe a replacement for the Ocean City Week that they shouldn't go to.
Yeah, the beach week.
But I kind of wish that we had that as part of our culture. It would be hard because it's a busy time. But if I could start over from scratch, I think I would make that a point.
You'd add those things?
Yeah.
You'd add those things? Yeah. I think programmatically for me too, kind of talking, going back to that event thing, you know, like having events that are not really mine, they're somebody else's dream.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing for me is I built a pattern pretty early on of programming in short blocks of time.
Okay.
The fall, the spring, the summer, the winter, you know, the different quarters.
Yeah.
And when I did that, sort of an unintended consequence of that were these really busy pockets of time where we had a lot going on.
Okay.
And then these pockets that were kind of empty, you know? And when I backed up and looked at a whole year or a whole 2 years or 3 years, big picture wise, you could see, oh, we're a little empty here and we're way full here. And when you do that, that's tough, especially the full times. That's tough on you as the leader because you got a lot going on and you can't give everything as much as you want to give it.
Yeah.
It's tough on our volunteer leaders because they're volunteer leaders. They have other lives and now we're telling them, oh, we got this thing Friday and the next Saturday there's this thing. And, oh, plus we're meeting every Sunday. You know, it's tough on them.
Right.
And I think it's tough on our students. We want our students to have lives outside of the student ministry so they're connecting. And it's tough, even when you get into the, it feels nice at the time when you get into those lulls where you've got weeks and weeks and weeks with just your normal activity but nothing extra. But at the same time, then there's disconnection and there's lack of momentum.
Yeah.
And I think if I were to go back it again, I would build a different pattern of looking at the calendar in a much bigger picture to see if we can't shift some things to make it more consistent. And you can't always fix that because some of the things are tied to, you know, seasons and events. But I think that would have been better. And we've moved to more of that now. But, it, you know, when the Titanic's moving, it's tough to turn it around.
There's actually a great tool out there that I found last year from Youth Ministry Answers. It's called the GROW Curriculum. And it's a whole package of youth ministry for a year. But one of the things that they have in that is a calendar. I don't know if we talked about this before or not, but I would recommend it. There's like a calendar system. You take all the elements of your ministry, the events, the parents, the leaders, the student leaders, the week to week, and you put that all out into an annual calendar, and it helps you kind of think through that strategically. It's a helpful tool. Even if you don't buy that, at least use that concept.
That concept.
To try to plan.
Yeah. How often are we asking them to come out? Leaders, students. How often are we
from
asking them to pay
year,
for things?
From a whole year. A
whole year
out.
Whole year thing. Yeah. Absolutely. For sure. So yeah, programmatically, I think there's a few things that, in hindsight, I'd go back. There's probably more, but those are kind of my bay ones.
How about vision and leadership as the primary leader of your youth ministry? What would you have done differently?
I the biggest thing that comes to my mind is student leadership. You
okay.
know, I knew we needed to have student leadership. I mean, everything you read, everything you study, like you gotta, you know, help students. And so I just rushed into it. And I said, we need a student leadership team. Let's build a student leadership team. And you handpick a few people and you put a call out and you get, all of a sudden you got a team together.
It's always a challenge, student leadership, yeah.
And then because I hadn't thought through how exactly will I develop student leaders, it sort of morphed into a student doing group, not a student leadership group.
Okay.
In other words,
they had tasks.
They
weren't really being trained.
They had
or
tasks.
Discipled.
They had things that they were doing. They were hard. And it wasn't terrible. I mean, I'm not saying it was bad, right? We had a great student leadership.
Well, maybe it was.
For years. It could be. Thanks. Appreciate that. No, I'm not going to go and think about that for a little while. You know, and it upped kids' investment in the group.
Sure.
Lots of things happened. But when I look back on it, there wasn't a mechanism in there to actually develop them as a leader.
Okay.
So they had more tasks than they had leadership opportunities.
Okay.
And I think if I were going to go back, hindsight being 2020, I might wait a year or two to start a student leadership team, even though I knew we needed one, until I really had fully thought it through about how am I going to actually, through this group, develop leaders, not just put kids to work.
Okay.
You know, doing things that could be done by anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's one of the things I would have done.
Okay.
What about you?
The first thing that comes to my mind is I would train and equip more teachers in the youth ministry. My primary gift is teaching. I love to teach. It's part of my calling to youth ministry. So really from the very beginning, I would teach a lot. And when I started, I was leading middle school and high school separately. And I was teaching both of those groups every week, with a few exceptions.
Sure.
And I did that for years. And sometimes I taught on Sunday mornings at the Sunday school and preached in church. So I was teaching all the time and never really giving some of the volunteers and the students an opportunity to do that. And that's continued even to the present, where I'm still carrying too much of the weight of the teaching in the youth ministry. And that's not healthy. It's not healthy for the development of other leaders. It's not healthy for me, just week to week, always having to prep messages. So I wish I could go back and really pour into a few people to develop them as teachers and give more voices in the teaching and the student ministry.
I think there's probably a real danger there, because I'm resonating with what you're talking about, because I think that by default, as the lead of a youth ministry, we hold the teaching thing pretty tight.
We do.
And because I know that I do as well. And now that you're saying this, I'm being challenged as well to think, you know what? I probably didn't do enough of that either.
It's not all bad, because I do think that my teaching was critical to the growth of the youth ministry. I think it was really important, but there was too much of it.
Right.
Too much of my voice, not enough of other people's voices.
Right. I mean, I'm saying that, you know, out of 30 Sundays a year, you should have somebody else teach and you teach 22 of them. It's, you know, there's definitely the right balance there, but you're saying that in hindsight, you think your balance was skewed the wrong way.
I think I would have more teachers in my toolbox right now who were available to help me out if I had spent time developing them over the years. Mm-hmm. It would have taken some work to do that.
Yeah.
So the third category.
Personal.
Is the personal.
Relational.
And the relational. What would we have done differently on the personal relational side of youth ministry?
For me, it's really not hard to access that, because this is something that haunts me to this day. I developed at the time, well-intentioned, well-motivated. At the time, it felt like the right thing to do. I developed a really bad pattern to how accessible I was to students, volunteers, parents, just anybody in the ministry.
Matthew is always open for business.
Yeah, you know what? you joke about that, but I'm sure that's what people think. And they think that because that's what I help them think by not having really any boundaries on when I was accessible. And so I wanted to be that great youth leader who was, if a kid texted at 11:30 at night, that I was there for them, you know? And
even if he was texting you about, hey, what
time do I have to be at church for the retreat next Friday?
Am I allowed to bring tortilla chips on the bus? Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this because it was a turning point for me in this hindsight, like where I remember that I got a phone call at 3:30 in the morning from a parent. Right? Now, my phone was off. It was on vibrate because, I don't know, that's a decent thing to do at night when you sleep, right? But I'm a light sleeper, so I heard it vibrate. And I saw, and so I answered the phone at 3:30 in the morning.
Well, you probably thought it was an emergency.
Yeah, who's calling? And I remember the mom saying, like, oh, I really wish you wouldn't have answered the phone. We're taking our daughter to the hospital. She's got something really serious going on, but we won't know anything till tomorrow. But I just wanted to leave you a message so that when you got up, you would know that, hey, today, during your day, could you check in on us at the hospital? And I thought to myself, yeah, it was 3:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did I need to answer that phone call?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I started thinking about that. Like, okay. And, you know, my day off is Monday. And people know that.
Right.
And when people would text me on Monday, I would text them back. When they'd email me on Monday, would email him back.
Hey, I know it's your day off. I'm sorry to bother you on your day off, but
and if they called, I'd answer.
Yeah.
And so that developed a pattern that still exists in some people to this day. Now, in hindsight, after that phone call and having other people speak truth into my life, I've become better. I'm not perfect, but I've become better at it. But there are just some people that were so ingrained that they haven't made the shift yet. So okay. I still get text messages and phone calls from them on a Monday. They just don't hear back from me. And so it's so hard to retrain them. I wish I would have done it differently.
If you were a convenience store and you were starting over, rather than advertise that you're open 24 hours, you would have been 7 to 11, right? That's how 7-Eleven started, because they were open 7 to 11.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes, that's where they get their name. And so you should have been open 7 to 11, and your life would have been better off.
Yeah, or even less than that, like maybe 8 to, you know,
8 to 10.
6 or 10 or 7, I don't know. But anyway,
how about 2 to 5 p.m.?
2 to 5 p.m. I'm available between 2 and 5. That's swinging the ball all the way to the other side of the fence. But that was one thing for me.
I'm thinking about a few things I would do different relationally. I think I would spend more time with parents, encouraging parents, just personally. Not creating programs, but actual conversations and just hanging out with them, maybe visiting them. It doesn't come easy to me because I'm introverted, but I think that would be something that would have paid a lot of dividends and been a really good investment of my time. So I would do that differently. I also think I would establish more relationship with the local schools. Mm. Some youth workers are great at that. Some, that's really their passion. For me, it isn't. And I am shy, and I don't like to reach out to places like that in a foreign context, so to speak. But, I mean, we met in a high school as a church for my first 10 years. And I didn't really have a relationship with that school.
Mm, yeah.
And I think that was a mistake. I think I would do that differently. Contact the principal, find a few teachers, something just to build a relationship with that school, maybe assistant coach of some team or something.
Sure.
That would have helped that relationship. Yeah. I think that would have been beneficial.
See, I think I'm the opposite of that.
Yeah.
You know, I think if in hindsight, going back.
Well, we're kind of opposite personalities, so that makes sense.
So extroverted, but I think I let my extrovertedness not allow me to draw safe boundaries. Mm. And again, going back to that accessibility issue around being unplugged. Mm-hmm. Like I know that I need to have time in my day, definitely time in my week, where I step away from people and I unplug from being drawn into relationships so that I can rest, so that I can connect with God, so that I can refresh myself. And I know that, but I'm so extroverted.
You're learning how to become a contemplative like me.
Yes. But I'm so extroverted that I think I allow that extrovertedness to trump what I know is supposed to happen. I'm supposed to put my phone away for a couple hours on Monday and not be there.
Yeah.
But this extrovert in me just looks at it across the room and longs for it. And again, I know what's right, but in hindsight, I didn't pay enough attention to what was right. And I built unhealthy patterns of I'm on Instagram and Facebook as much on Monday as I am on Wednesday, and often get dragged emotionally into things that I know I shouldn't be engaged in on a day I'm supposed to be chilling out and resting.
So we're almost like the flip side of each other.
We are.
Yeah, my introverted nature sends me into my isolation rather than connecting with people. And you're just the opposite. You need more isolation.
Yeah.
I need more people.
Yeah, I know more people at the school than I should know.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't know enough people at the school.
Yeah.
So
I think a couple of things we learned from this. One is that it's never too late to change.
Right.
So some of these things that we know we would do differently, we still can do differently. It may be years before they establish themselves as part of our youth ministry culture, if they're programmatic, but it might be worth giving it a shot.
Yep.
Have to effort. Yeah.
Have to effort toward it. Everything I've mentioned today is a work in progress.
Absolutely.
Because of what I know now that I didn't know then.
Yeah. I think another thing is that it does occasionally leave us with some regret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I have a few regrets that I wish I could go back and change. I think here's a story, just a personal kind of poignant story. So because I hadn't developed enough teachers, I was required to be at every meeting, every Wednesday and every Sunday, because I had built it around my presence and my teaching. And so when my son was in high school, he was a sophomore and he was on the varsity baseball team as a pitcher, but he never pitched because he was a sophomore. And so we would go to the games and we would just sit in the stands and enjoy the game and didn't expect him to play. Well, they made it to the playoffs and they were playing at a high school down the road, and it was a close game, and I went to the game with my wife, and it was a Wednesday, which is our middle school night. So we had youth group that night, and I was responsible to be at the youth group. The game was progressing, and it was a close game. It was like the fifth inning, and I realized I've got to leave because I've got youth group tonight. And so I left thinking, there's no way in the world that my son is going to play in this game. Well, the game went into extra innings, and they brought my son John in to pitch. And he threw the next four innings of extra innings,
what?
Scoreless baseball. For me, it would have been like the greatest parental moment of my life. But I had left because I thought I had to go back and lead this middle school group. I had volunteers there. I wasn't essential for that night. I could have stayed at that game, but I just, because I had the lesson prepped, I left. If I could go back and do it again, I would have stayed at the game. Someone else could have taught the lesson, and I would have caught one of those parental moments that don't ever come around very often. Yeah, and I always regretted that. My wife's texting me, here's what's going on. I'm like, you know, tears are flowing down my face because I'm not there. And I don't think by and large that I missed a lot of moments in my kids' lives, but that was one where, because I didn't do this essential thing, I missed an opportunity. So
Well, we got to be careful not to let the regret sort of drag us down, but let that moment of regret push us towards a healthy system,
right?
So all of these things are hindsight. We have technically, when you look back and you think, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done it, that's the definition of regret. I regret I did it that way. Okay, well, there's nothing you can do about the fact that you did it that way, but there is something that you can do about it now. Make a change, make a different decision. So for you, you know, take some time. Think about, you know, whether you've been doing this for a year or 15 years or 30 years, what are some regrets that you have? What are some things that you think, oh, I really wish I would have done that differently? Could be programmatically an event, a program or something. Could be leadership-wise, or it could be personally. And then take an honest look at that and think, okay, so what? Now that I have better vision, my hindsight vision is 20/20 now. I see it clearly. So what are you going to do differently now? And don't fall back into that old pattern.
Yeah. We serve a God who's always the God of new starts, new beginnings. So there's a chance to make it right, to make it better.
Absolutely. So
we've been doing this for a while, and we still have a lot to learn.
A lot to learn, absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. What are some of your, you know, hindsight's 20/20 moments where you see something a little more clearly now than you did in the past? Why don't you jump on our Facebook page or jump on our Instagram story or our Instagram and just jot that out there? I think it'd be encouraging for other people to know, because again, sometimes you can learn from somebody else's mistake rather than having to make it yourself.
And yeah,
learn your vision can become better from somebody else's hindsight.
True. So thanks for listening. Episode 20, Youth Ministry Sherpas. We love our listeners. Thanks for being with us on this 20-episode journey. We're going to continue on.
Keep on going. Absolutely. But for now,
Sherpas
out.